on Inside, Jack Sogler. Fantastic Wednesday evening. I'm with Mr. Chuck Rohr.
What's up?
What's up? You are quite the linguist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, and I've also got in studio a couple of very, very honored guests, Mr. Mike Gruby and Mr. Jose Fowler, members of the Fort Recovery Board of Education. Hello, guys.
How are you doing, Jack?
What in the hell would possess you guys to come on here?
I guess we're just out to, there's been a lot of questions on what's been happening in Fort Recovery local schools and what's been accomplished, and we're just here to kind of highlight what's been going on the last 3 years and tell the people, let them know.
Yeah, well, good. Well, I tell you what, there's definitely been a lot going on, and let's use the first part of this as kind of a State of the Union type of a message to talk about different phases of the school and what the results are. And so, let's start with the academic and the, testing part, because I know that the state has a grade card, that type of thing. So let's talk about that part of it first.
One of the things, so you mentioned the grade card piece, so maybe I'll start out there. So one of the things that happened with the grade card is they, in the last several years, kind of revamped how they assign the grades. And so if you would look back in history at schools that maybe used to get like straight A's, for example, you may notice that they don't necessarily get straight A's anymore. And one of the reasons is what they did is they are using the grade of a C to designate one full year's worth of growth on average by a student in a given year, right? So that would be the expectation, right, that each student would grow by, 1 year's worth of growth in a school year. But I think before, that used to be given a much higher grade than a C. So I think a lot of people now would look at a C and say, well, we used to never get C's.
Yeah.
But the meaning of that C is different than it used to be. So I guess I just want to kind of put that out there first, so that when people just, the grade card's like an easy snapshot, right? It's like a way you can look at, a small summary and try to get an idea how things are going. And a lot of people use it for that. But if you try to compare it to past years, it'll look different. And one of the reasons is the way they score it.
Yeah.
Right.
So when like you look at the past, and we used to see signs that I don't know whether it's excellence in education or an excellent school or and compared to other schools in the area, we always held our own, if not exceeded it. Okay. Now it does seem like the results are more middle of the road. Okay. So is that probably true in comparing our scores to other area schools?
Well, I think lately we've really been trying to turn things around in the right direction. It's been the administration's goal, the teacher's goal, not to be one of the best districts in the area, but the best. Just recently, we was ranked 77th best high school in Ohio by Cleveland.com, based on our performance index score. It was the first time Fort Recovery High School has been recognized in the top 100 for this achievement. Also, just a couple weeks ago, Fort Recovery High School was the recipient of the College Success Award by GreatSchools.org. It recognizes public schools across 9 states for ensuring students prepare for college, enroll in college, and succeed once they're there. Our teachers are on board with this. They're doing an excellent job. Like I said, we want to be the best, not just in the top five. We want to be number one.
Yep. Good. So as you look at the testing, and I know they do it at, you know, different grade levels. So is there, as you look at the test scores, and I'm going to oversimplify this because I'm a simple guy. But so when you look at the elementary, the middle school, and the high school, it sounds like right now the top performer is probably at the high school level. I mean, like they've tested the best, or
I would say that's a fair statement. There, well, the finals, they just took the finals here this last week.
Yeah.
The results of that will be coming out here in a couple of weeks. We're all anticipating better scores than what we had last year. That's the goal, to improve every year till we get where we want. We'll just have to wait and see. I would say you're right. The high school was probably performed better than the other middle and elementary and stuff.
Which is amazing, because I'll bet if, like, you look back 12 or 15 years ago, it was probably just flip-flop, where the elementary was always the one that shined. So it's kind of interesting how it happens.
Well, I think a lot of that is because of the classes that's offered to high school now. I mean, if I was in high school now with the classes they offer, I might actually try, because they got some really neat stuff going on with TriStar, and they got these work programs, and they'll, if you're going into the workforce after you graduate, they got courses they'll set up for you through your high school years to be prepared for that. If you're going to college, they'll set your classes up to be prepared for that. Back when I went to school, it was just, hey, these are the classes you take, and you go with it. So I think it's pretty neat. Well, not only our school, but all schools are doing that. So
like, are you saying you were somewhat, one of those kids that didn't apply himself as well as he could have?
I didn't apply myself at all.
You know what? I think we're kind of in the same boat there. Yeah.
The testing, real quick, I want to go back to that. So you talked about the difference, in the perceived results over 12 or 15, whatever your period.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone knows, education is a constantly changing thing. There's always new mandates and rules that are coming down. And, especially, let's say, the last 5 or 10 years, it seems like there's been at least 3 different iterations of types of testing. They change, how they deliver the tests. So from paper, now it's on computers and online, and the harshness or the strictness of grading has changed. And so it's really difficult to compare scores of these tests over time, because they just keep evolving and changing. They're trying to push the kids, to learn more and excel and grow faster and all these things. So it's a challenge to compare over time.
Yeah. So academically, we're doing a lot of good things. From a financial standpoint, it always amazed me when the 5-year forecast used to come out, and it would look like, you got to start selling buses because you're going to have enough money to get through. And I tell you what, I think it is the treasurer's job to present a very conservative outlook, so now, as you look at our finances, current and as we go down the road, how's things looking?
I think they're looking pretty good. Just throw some numbers out there. Back in 2015, our general fund was at $3.1 million. And now it's up to 5.7 in 2018. We are expecting to seed $7 million by 2022. And we'll finish this school year 936,000 in the black. But like that 2022 number is a forecast. A lot of things can change between now and then.
Mainly a state budget.
Right, right. And you've been on the board. You know, our treasurer, she does an excellent job. But she, you know, she just puts a forecast. It's only a forecast, nothing guaranteed. But financially, we're pretty sound, a lot better than a lot of other districts. And since Mr. Firkus has gotten here, he has found many ways to save, you know, $10,000 here, $13,000 there, and it all adds up.
Sure. So as you look at the finances, we all know that the biggest cost is the people, the teacher contract part. Now, you just recently completed contract negotiations.
Yeah, so we finished about a year ago. So we did a 2-year contract. We negotiated. One thing I will say about the negotiation, I think from the perspective of the board, the administration, and the staff, they felt like the relationship between the three was, you know, was as good as it's been in a long time. You know, a lot of times you get into negotiations and it can be really tough. You know, you can create hard feelings and animosity. I think in this case, all the parties involved came with like an open mind, you know, tried to do the best we could to, you know, keep the kids. You know, the kids are the first thing in the school, right? So everybody came to the table with that in mind. You know, in a good negotiation, everybody leaves feeling like they didn't get what they wanted. And I think that's kind of what happened in this case.
Yeah.
And they realized that, like, you know,
where the board gave more than they really wanted to, and the teachers didn't get quite as much.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
They wanted.
Yep.
Sure. And that's,
yep.
That's so, a process.
But yeah. We'll be back, you know, next year. We'll be negotiating again because it was a 2-year contract. Yeah. And, you know, of course, the excellent news about the finance, you know,
yeah.
the community should be, you know, happy with the way that the board and the administration and the staff is being good stewards of the community's yeah. money. Of course, that means, you know, when it comes to negotiation time, there'll probably be a little bit more there.
Yep. Well, you know, and I think looking back over the history of Fort Recovery, you know, we've always had tendency to treat that money like it was our own, because in many ways it is, and I think past administrations and past boards have taken the same philosophy that you guys have, and making sure because you know what, you have no idea what the state representatives and the state senators are going to do
one year to the next.
And yeah,
it's constantly changing, and that's what kind of opened my eyes up when I
yeah.
first got on the board.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that fluctuated as much
yeah.
as it does.
And that's about half of the revenue as well.
Yeah.
So we keep that in mind. Like, we have a very high percentage of the revenue that comes to the school is an unknown. So you have the state piece, right? You have property tax and you have income tax, which is, you know, a really, really significant piece of the money that comes in. And none of those are really guaranteed. They change year to year and sometimes quarter to quarter.
So, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to come back and talk about the facilities and what kind of shape we're in from a building standpoint. And we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our 7 different subs, plus your choice of 2 of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut grilled or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of 2 sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
Cooper Farms Feed and Animal Division in Fort Recovery, Ohio, is seeking a second shift feed delivery driver, which requires a Class A CDL. My name is Bob Stogler, and I have been at Cooper Farms for 33 years, which has enabled me to develop great friendships along the way and great opportunities. Come join the Cooper team today. Apply online at cooperfarms.com.
Hello, I'm Kenny Cano from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. Landscape professionals, you've got a big job to do, and that job's got to be done quickly, and it's got to be done right, because that's what pros do. Ferris commercial mowers with patented suspension technology give professionals the edge they need to mow faster while getting a high-quality cut and smooth ride. We should know, because we introduced suspension to the commercial mowing industry, and nobody does it better. Ferris, experienced suspension. So stop by K&L Tractor and discover the secret to professionally manicured lawn.
The Mad Run is coming up on Saturday, May 19th at Ambassador Park. You can register yourself or your team for this challenging event by going to themadrun.com and clicking on the register tab. And as always, they need volunteers in several areas to help with this fun event, both setting up ahead of time and on the day of the Mad Run. If you'd like to be a volunteer, just click on the volunteer tab on their website, themadrun.com. And if you're also going to be a participant, you can pick out a time to volunteer that won't conflict with your wave time. The Mad Run coming up on Saturday, May 19th. Participate, volunteer, or both by going to themadrun.com. Or just stop by Ambassador Park that day and cheer on your favorite team and visit with your friends.
What's for lunch? Wayne Street Market in downtown Fort Recovery is introducing to you Wayne Cafe. It's a new hotspot for lunch. Stop in or follow us on Facebook to see what's on the menu each day. We will always have our fried chicken, our hot soup bar, and our fresh salad bar, but we are bringing a whole new level to your lunch hour starting in March. We also will have in-house seating available so you don't have to rush around during your break. As always, thanks for choosing Wayne Street Market, downtown Fort Recovery, as your lunch destination.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Jose Fowler, and Mike Gruby from the Fort Recovery Board of Education. And we had just gotten done talking about the finances at the school, and I think you wanted to make one more point regarding that.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout-out to Kevin Will, I think Matt Hart before him, and then the rest of the maintenance staff. Of one of the ways we talked about, you know, how can we save money, you know, how can we be good stewards? One of the things the maintenance staff is doing is taking on a lot of repair jobs that we kind of used to, like, contract out. And the, you know, those are some of the things Mike was talking about, like saving $10,000 here and $13,000 there, where, like, we used to maybe call somebody to do it. But having people like Matt Hart and Kevin Will and Dino and Larry and Harry, those guys who would have some experience and have learned how to fix some of those things that we used to hire people to do, or, you know, that's one more thing of saving money. I wanted to give those guys a shout out.
Good. So, and, you know, kind of going along that same line, you know, from a facility standpoint, I don't know whether we've ever been in as good a shape from a building standpoint, at least from the way that they look as you drive by. Okay, you know, it just looks like it's all pretty top notch and is being kept up well. So
I, for one, I mean, you drive by, I drove by the school tonight coming over here to high school. I don't see how it could look any better, or any other school around here that could look any better than what it does. And that's got to make everybody in this community extremely proud. Not only proud, but if we've got people driving through town to see, you know, maybe they want to move here or something. You know, the first ones they're going to look at is the school. And if they drive by and look at that school, they've got to be impressed. Not only impressive on the outside, but if you walk inside that school, everything is top-notch. It's an older school, but they stuck a lot of money into it, fixed it up. I mean, even the gym, I mean, you've been in the gym since they read it. I mean, it looks like a new gym. I mean, that bank was built in 74.
It's like 45 years old.
And it's amazing, isn't it? I know it. And that's the new gym.
Yeah,
that's, you know.
That's the new gym that's 45 years old.
It is interesting because this was from, you know, last year or whatever. The new gym is older now than the old gym was when we tore it down.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Which is amazing. So you know, touch a little bit more on the facilities. So from a finances standpoint, is there any type of an ongoing levy from a facility standpoint that is still being collected that you're aware of? You know, there has been like a $1 million permanent improvements type thing. Is there anything like that that is currently on?
We're pretty lucky. I think we have like an ongoing, and so not a lot of schools are fortunate to have that, but yeah, we're pretty fortunate there. Some of the other things, like you talk about improvements, and being able to react to like the community and the public's feedback, right? So I remember a couple years ago we had an open building night at the elementary middle school, and we had cars parked in the grass along the driveway, and it was a little bit of a safety, it got dark out, sure. There's lots of kids there, and it's an overcrowded parking lot. A little bit over a year later, we've got an expanded parking lot with a new traffic flow. So we did a couple things. We made more parking spots. We made the area safer for when there's these nights when you invite everybody into the school. But then also, I think we improved things for the kid dropping the kids off and picking
not
up the way
I
that traffic
it.
Flow went. Right?
I had 9 moms in minivans cussing at me. because I went the wrong way. Yeah, when like I drive, I can't be reading signs and stuff, guys.
That's good. But I use that as an example, but also want to, so whoever's listening, whatever, if you have an idea, so this came from feedback from the community, hey, this wasn't very safe, I showed up at this event, I'm trying to get through the parking lot, there's not enough room, that kind of thing. So if you notice something about the facilities, the school, you think there's something we could do better, I speak for myself, but I think I speak for the rest of the school board and the administration, reach out to us and let us know. We'd love to have community feedback about what can we do better. I think I always tell anyone who calls me, like, thank you first. Thanks for calling. What would you like to share? That kind of thing. So if you have ideas for us, please reach out.
Do you ever hang up and say, he's crazy?
Never.
Okay. So, we had talked about the approval of the teacher contract, the 2 year that was done last year. So is a 2 year somewhat normal? I mean, like, is that what they tend to shoot for?
Yeah, that's from all the other districts around. There might be one that went for a 3 year, but the majority of them are all 2 year contracts.
Well, and it probably makes sense because like the state generally does a biannual budget, so at least you know what you're
and
working
both
with
ways. Okay, if we're tight on money, we're not going to give out as much per raise, and the teacher's okay thinking next year we're going to be healthier, so try and get more. I mean, sure. And it works both ways.
Sure. Yep. So then when you hire like in the past 3 years, we've hired 2 principals and a superintendent. So what's the general process that they go through from a contract standpoint? As far, so do they start off with one? Do they start off with 3? What is the general practice there?
Yeah, so I think general practice for someone in the administration would be to start off with a 2 year contract. I think there's a couple reasons for that. One is if you're bringing in someone from the outside, you think you've hired the right person, but you probably don't want to start out with a 5 year contract just in case. The flip side is if you offer a 1 year contract to someone who's going to, and then you expect them to uproot their family potentially and come here, and they're not guaranteed of a job the following year, that's a big ask of, sure. of someone who's in a highly professional position,
Yeah. We've heard, and I don't know whether it's been completely confirmed, that Mr. Overman is going to New Bremen, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So So was he on the second year of his two-year contract? Is that right? Okay.
Actually, he was just awarded a new contract.
Right.
He just finishing up his second year of his two-year contract.
Okay.
Two meetings ago, he was awarded an additional three-year contract.
Okay.
So he's opting out of that and going to an agreement.
Okay. So Mr. Stahl?
Right.
Because I think he got it hired in at the same time.
Same thing, right?
Yeah, I think he was given like the same thing.
Yeah.
Him and
okay.
Kurt Rammel, was Kurt the same way? No, I know he just got a new contract, but yeah. I don't know how many years it is.
I think they were all 3 years, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, from a superintendent standpoint, mm-hmm. okay, because I think Mr. Ferks was hired the year before that, right?
That's right.
Okay. So what type of structure was he hired under?
He came in on a two-year contract.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's pretty standard.
Is that right?
Two-year, it's that middle ground where, like I said, you don't have
where
to...
Where you're making a commitment.
Yeah.
And yet you're not...
Overcommitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so then he received a three-year contract last year?
The board gave Justin a 5-year contract after his 2-year.
Okay.
We can maybe tag team this with Mike and I. So there was a number of things that the board looked at, right? So Justin was really prepared. When he came in, we were very open and honest with each other. He had his list of things that he was interested in from his side. He had them prioritized. For him, the priority was contract longevity more than it was, you know, money or some of the other, you know, other, you know, side benefits or whatever. And, you know, the thought process for him was, he moved his family here. He likes stability. He has a long-term plan. You know, it's not like a 1 or 2 year fix. It's more of like a long-term vision. And, you know, from his perspective, he kind of wanted to, and again, I don't want to speak for him, but I'm kind of speaking for him, so I hope he's okay with this. He kind of wanted to be around to see it out, right? Right. You know, he said, I put this plan in place. I feel like we're going in the right direction. It's a priority for me to have stability for my family, one, and then to follow this plan through and to see the results of the, you know, all these things I'm trying to put in place.
And I believe he was, you know, he was on a 2-year contract, so it was his first year he was just getting familiar.
Learning.
Right?
Yep.
Learning Fort Recovery. And then his initial goal was to have a 4-year to put in what he wanted to do, but it would take 4 years from till we seen the results that we wanted to see. This is probably about the second year on that 4-year plan. We're seeing improvements, probably not as quick as anybody would like to see, but they are, the grades are going in the right direction, and he is definitely committed to education as far as the kids as being the number one priority within the district, which all districts are.
So let's, you know, so we talk about this plan, okay? And I'm, you know, so you know, what is it? You know, when like I think of an education plan, you know, I tell the teachers to come in earlier, stay later, give the kids better grades, you know. So, you know, what is the plan?
I'll start off with part of this. I know Mike's got some things here, too. For me, I'll talk about this because this is one of the things I'm passionate about. But, you know, part of this is leadership and character development. So the whole working with Focus 3 and the Kites and, you know, I'm sure some have heard the above the line, the E plus R equals O and those kind of things, right? But what it's really about is developing the kids, the students, with something more than just the academics, right? So they've implemented programs around character development, you know, so maybe there's like a character word of the month. And, you know, there's a student or group of students in each grade who, if they, you know, they're caught displaying that character, you know, trait, you know, they get some kind of reward. They get their picture on the bulletin board. Maybe they get a certificate to go get a free meal. You know, so they're trying to instill. Of course, you're pushing the education piece, but we're trying to also encourage the character development. You know, so to me, that's exciting. You know, you create, you know, well-roundedness. You know, good citizens. You know. And I think what we're trying to do, we've always had good academics here. You know, I think we still have good academics, you know, and again, like Mike said, we're always trying to get better. But I think this gives us another something extra. This, I really like the way that, you know, so there's the student piece, there's the staff, right? So there's the administration. So there was the core team in year one. That was doing the implementation. Year two rolled out to the staff. Year three will be next year. I think it'll be full rollout to the students. And, you know, to me, I'm really excited. That's something that I'm passionate about. So I was pretty excited about that. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think you see it quite as much in the high school because they haven't been taught this coming up through the lower grades like they're doing now. Like the lower grades, they got what is it? Extend Your Neck. It's an award. It's a giraffe award. I know my grandkids have been fortunate to receive it. If you stick your neck out for somebody and help somebody, you know, you get an award. It's a very, very positive program that's been implemented. And you'll see it, you know, go through the third to fourth grade. You'll see it through grade school now, and then we'll eventually see it get to the high school level. And that gets into the above the line when it gets, you know, it's all above the line, but more on the high school level, above the line, just doing the right thing.
And, well, you know, and I think there's been some form of you know, character development in the schools for like a long time. It does seem like this one is probably more structured, has more depth, you know. I am not sure that the other ones got the teachers as involved as right. What this one does.
And, that's a real good thing. The teachers are just as involved as this as administration and the students. And when they believe in it, if they teach something that they believe in, you know, the kids are going to pick up on that, you know.
Sure.
And rather than having somebody up there just running their mouth. But if they believe in it, they're going to pick up on that. Just for instance, we had one of our basketball players here. We was told about it last night. And there must be a boy basketball player in St. Henry that developed cancer. Mm-hmm. And one of our basketball players took it upon himself to raise money, you know, several different ways. And by the time it was all said and done, I think we was able to send about $1,300 over to that boy.
That's pretty
and
cool.
That's, you know, you can't get any better than that.
Yeah.
So I'll continue on here. So there's some other, you know, some more strictly academic things, you know, that are going on. So I think we've increased what we offer in gifted services. So to try to get that differentiation for those students who maybe weren't pushed or challenged as much. So we're trying to do some things like that. We're improving, you know, technology is kind of everywhere now. So I think, you know, we've done several one-to-one initiatives. I think we have one-to-one, meaning one electronic device per one student. All the way down to, I think next year it might be down to third grade. So, I mean, they're really pushing them down. It offers a lot of flexibility for the teachers to offer differentiated lesson plans and things like that. And then, you know, we're starting up some things like robotics teams. And, you know, Mike was talking before about like TriStar. And, you know, it's always been a strong program for us. And, you know, to differentiate paths for people who are, you know, advanced prep, college prep versus like preparing for the workforce or technical school. I mean, I think we're really trying to highlight some of the, how do we differentiate education for students with different paths?
So, and, you know, I don't know whether you guys can answer this question. And so how has the role of a high school guidance counselor changed in the in the past 5 years? I mean, because I tell you what, I think 5 years ago, it was giving kids information on what colleges they should choose from. Okay, it seems like today they have to send a totally different message.
Yeah, and Mrs. Kaiser gave us a presentation last night on just that.
Well, my timing is perfect.
Yeah, I wish she was sitting there. She'd be a lot better at explaining it than I am. But I know when I was in school, they pushed what kind of college you want to go to. What kind of college? Well, I didn't want to go to college, so mentally I dropped out of school. You know, I showed up physically, but I wasn't going to college, so I didn't care. Now it's totally different. She's got programs in place that'll get you ready for the workforce, trade school. You know, that she'll get you signed up with TriStar. She'll get you. We had a young student in there last night. He works for Mercer County Electric when he gets out early. And that's what he was thinking about going into when he gets out of school. He doing it and testing it out. Last year we had a student in there. He worked at JR, and he wanted to be like an engineer. And he tried it at JR, and he said, man, this ain't for me. He wanted to be more hands-on, so he went out in the mechanical end of it out at JR and worked out there and worked out fine. And that essentially saved him maybe 2 years of college of waste, because he would have signed up for to be an engineer and then got in there and said, yeah, this ain't for me.
Yeah.
And as far as the college in, she's extremely good at, you know, getting the kids set up. She has them fill books out starting in what grade?
They started as freshmen.
Freshmen. Yeah, they keep track of all the awards they got. She keeps it in line as far as civic duty stuff. She's got them online to do when they apply for college to get any kind of benefit there is out there. She runs a pretty tight ship when it comes to that.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and talk about school safety, because I think that is a front page type of a thing right now, and just ask a few questions about that. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Forge Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forge, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forge Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forge Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Running late? Can't decide what to make for supper? Just don't have time to make supper? Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them get your meal ready for you. Everybody can get what they want. Subs, great sandwiches, all kinds of deep-fried goodies, plus their famous wings and pizza. They're now open Tuesday through Sunday. Be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their wing and pizza buffet, and don't forget to make your reservations for your kid's birthday party or any other occasion. So whether it's getting your supper ready tonight or reserving your lanes for a party, let Corey and Jared take the hurry and stress out of your day. Just call them at 375-4274. 7th Annual Fort Recovery Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament is coming up on June 8th, 9th, and 10th at Forsyth Park. The tournament is open to all former Fort Recovery graduates, spouses, fiancés, and Fort Recovery School District residents. Your team should consist of former classmates graduating in the same year, or as needed, you can combine classes to form a team, and each team needs to have a minimum of 5 ladies and 5 guys per team. Be sure to reserve your team's spot before Sunday, June 3rd, by contacting Cole Wendell at 419-852-7141 or Ryan Evers at 419-733-6448, or you can email him at evers_ryan@yahoo.com. The entry fee is $100 per team. Watch their Facebook page, 2018 Fort Recovery Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament, for updates and game schedules. Food and refreshments will be available at the tournament, so grab the whole family and head on down to Forsyth Park for a weekend full of fun and socializing with old and new friends. The 2018 Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament, June 8th, 9th, and 10th. Be sure to sign your team up before June 3rd. Get down there. It's always a lot of fun.
Hey, we're back. Insight. Jack Stogler. Hey, Chuck Rohr. I've got some good news.
Uh-oh.
No sports talk tonight.
Uh-huh.
So you don't have to, you know, stay late and listen to Bubba and Fee.
I don't have to stay till 11 tonight?
That's right.
Oh, that's good.
That's right. So because of the girls softball game and everything getting started late, we are not going to have Bubba and Fee's show tonight. So that means I've got Mike and Jose until 10 or 10:30 if I want them.
Bedtime's at 9.
Is that right? We had started talking, and I was going to bring up the school safety thing, but let's touch on, let's just do the school safety thing because I can't think of what the hell else I was going to talk about. So, Mike, there has been a lot of stuff that's happened in schools in the past, couple of years. So has the board and administration talked about or have there been changes in Fort Recovery?
We've been talking about it. I don't know when they implemented all the cameras and stuff and the locked doors coming into the schools. But as far as I know, this has been talked about at our board meetings. And before a decision is ever made on this, we will bring it out to the public and get the public opinion on this. But there is some local schools that have lock boxes throughout the school, several of them. With certain people that are allowed to get into them locked boxes, and there is a revolver or something in there for a quick action. We did have our town police officer in, Jared, and we had our Mercer County Sheriff in probably about a year ago to discuss this. They were real good. It was very educational. They said whatever we decide, they would be on board with us, but they wasn't about to tell us, what to do.
What to do. Do you think they would be in favor of it?
They?
Yeah.
I don't, they was neutral.
Okay.
And they remained neutral. I don't know. But the one thing they stressed, and it didn't make sense, if we do have that person in there that can get at that gun, having a gun permit isn't good enough for that person to be able to go in there and get that gun, use it. They want them to be trained with the sheriff's department and with our town police officers here. That way, if we do have a problem, everybody's on the same page. They want, like Sheriff Gray said, we want that person to go through our training. That way, we know, they're ready to go. But at the same time, we got to have, if you got, say, 2 or 3 guns in there, we got to have 2 or 3 people that are willing to take that responsibility on. And that's a big responsibility.
I'd be huge. I mean, and you see see the video of the resource officer at that school in Florida that stayed outside, you know. And, you know, while it's easy to sit here 700 miles away and condemn him for what he did, not everybody's made to run into that stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think there was an instance today on TV, I just caught the end of it, where there was a resource officer, a kid was coming into school with a gun, and he confronted him before he got in, and again, nobody got shot except for the kid with the gun. He took one in the shoulder. I don't know, just like last night, Lori brought up our insurance. They're offering a $1 or $2 million policy for destruction that is caused, like, say, during a school disruption like that. If we got to pay for ambulances, sheriffs, and stuff like that coming in. Okay, you never heard of that 10 years ago.
That's
now,
incredible.
You know, now we got to decide whether we want to purchase that policy, you know, the $1 million or the $2 million policy.
So, to tag onto that, so in the interim, certainly we're not just sitting on our hands and doing nothing. So we've tried to implement a lot of safety improvements. You know, for example, we've installed security systems in, like, the buses, for example, right? So, you know, it's a small safety thing. We've done a lot of training, so we've had the local police come in and do what's called, like, ALICE training. So part of the ALICE training is that they've really revamped how people would respond in the event of some catastrophe like that. And so they're coming in to try to teach the students and the staff, you know, hey, there's a new way you should respond now. And then in addition, they have, like, regular evacuation drills. And I think in the elementary middle school, we just got an update last night. So they evacuated the whole building to the church undercroft in, like, 14 minutes. And then they do, like, a re-evacuation, or, you know, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but, like, they bring everyone back to the school. So, like, just, you know, what if you had to come back in? And I think they said they got the whole thing done, everybody out of the building to the church, accounted for, and then back in the school in 27 minutes. But if you think about, like, that's pretty good with all of the elementary and middle school kids. And so,
the big thing on that is accounting for all the kids. Big thing. Especially the little folks, Hey, so, we're out of school, you know. They don't care what's going on.
And we're constantly trying to, how can we make things safer? And so it's not like we're just sitting around, like, hoping that nothing happens.
Sure. So you know, we've touched a lot of, you know, what's on the list. You know, so let's talk about the process of evaluating the administrators. You guys have brought up a lot of very positive things regarding the teachers and the academics, and I think that, you know, you can't help but go to a sports event or a music event and feel very proud of it. So as, like, you evaluate the administrators, what role does community leader and their involvement come into play in that process?
You're saying as we involve, like, the administration, or
so if, like, I'm the high school principal, or I'm the school superintendent, and this is my school, and you know, so part of that responsibility is also as a community leader, I think, whether it's, you know, whether you're at the high school principal level or the superintendent, probably not as much at the elementary for whatever reason. So you know, what criteria do you use to kind of evaluate, or is it part of that evaluation process?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for sure. So maybe I'll start with, like, a high school principal, because you brought that up. And I think one of the reasons high school principal is, like, feels like a high profile position, which it is, but I think it's exacerbated a little bit because of the high profile piece of high school athletics. Sure. Right? And so, you know, you would expect your high school principal to attend. I mean, obviously they cannot attend every event. There's so many events, but they would attend, you know, lots of the major events, yeah.
But even band and choir.
So this not isn't just a athletics. Sports yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I didn't. Yeah. Thank you for that. I didn't mean that. But yeah, so like you brought up the band and the choir, and there's lots of other extracurriculars, but
FFA.
FFA is a big one, yeah. Right? There's Scholastic Bowl that, you know, I don't want to leave any of them out.
Yeah,
that
I know. Thing,
but there's so many of those extracurriculars at the high school level, and they tend to be more public than the middle school or elementary school ones, you know. And so, I think that is a little bit more of a prestigious position, like the high school principal, you know. And so, it's not quite the public position that like the superintendent would be, right? And so back to your question of, you know, when you're evaluating those positions, you know, what is the board's role and how would we evaluate that? So. The principal is evaluated by the superintendent. The board typically stays kind of hands off unless there's reasons that we think something's not going well, right? And it's, yep. You know, things seem to be going pretty well, so we leave that role up to the superintendent. So the board would evaluate the superintendent. Certainly, a piece of that would be, you know, as involvement in the community leader, that kind of thing. There's a whole host of attributes that the board would evaluate, right? And so I know when we had the superintendent search, I go back to this because it was one of the times we really put together some criteria, like, well, what are we really looking for in a superintendent? We came up with like 10 things that were pretty important to us. One of the things was related to communication in the community, that kind of thing. But there's a whole bunch of things that the board takes into account, right? You know, we talked about a lot of these things with, you know, financial discipline, you know, leadership and vision and having a plan and having integrity. And there's all these other things. You know, the community piece can be tricky, right? I mean, different personalities, people have different skill sets, and sometimes someone may be really good at having a vision or executing a plan and having a high integrity and all these other things, but you know, they may have to work a little bit on being outgoing. I myself in the same way. I mean, I struggle with that, and so
we can't shut you up at work.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like part of that process, and you know, because I'm sure that it's different with different boards. So is part of the process like a 360 to where does like the high school principal get evaluated by the teachers at the high school? I mean, is there some form of feedback that they get, or does the superintendent get that same feedback from his or her staff?
I don't know that it's necessarily always a formal process like that. So sometimes the board will informally have conversations with people, either maybe in the central office or the other principals or some of the staff members. A few years ago when I was board president, I sent out a survey to, I think, like 22 people at a whole host of positions, right? So it could have been someone from the bus cafeteria, driver. Bus driver, you know, to get feedback about the superintendent and treasurer. You know, hey, we're doing evaluations soon for the superintendent and treasurer. The board would really appreciate your feedback. It will be anonymous. There will be no names attached. We're just trying to do a good job of providing a fair evaluation and want to just see what the climate's like and what people think. So we don't do that every year, but it does happen. It is good to get other people's feedback. I agree. We don't do it every year, but it is part of the process.
Well, I think we do somewhat in our joint committee meeting. You know, it's two board members this year. It's Jose and myself and Mr. Firks, and we meet with the teachers, what, twice a year?
Twice a year.
And they give us their feedback. And in fact, this last time, I think it was mentioned about doing a 360. Yeah. That was brought up, so we're kicking that around. And as far as viewing my view on being a community leader, I think everybody might have a little different opinion on what makes a good community leader. I think if we got someone with
a good set of morals behind him or her, and sets a good example. And they might not, you know, attend all the golf outings and stuff like that, but you know, and if we have, you know, we're only responsible for our treasurer and our superintendent. That's the only ones the board is responsible for, as far as hiring and firing.
Well, but you know what, though? You are responsible for the school system. So while the direct responsibility, you may not fall under you. I think having a knowledge to ask the right questions and to know the temperature of the current situation. To me, that's always a job of a board member.
I think that's right. And to kind of piggyback off something Mike said there a little bit ago, the joint committee, you know, we do use that as one of our feedback mechanisms for sure. And, you know, the feedback we got from the joint committee at the last meeting was that it feels like the staff and the board and the administration are sharing a common vision right now and are moving in the same direction. And it feels like there's a more open dialogue and relationship than maybe there has been in some of the years past. And I think that came through when I talked about the negotiations last time, and it definitely came through again in the joint committee meeting.
Yeah. And I think this last joint committee meeting, we had like two big issues that were of concern, two major issues. Jose has been on them in the past. We basically had one page of concerns. He said he's been on these joint committee meetings in the past where they walked in with maybe 8-9 teachers and 7 pages of concerns. This time we had 2 teachers representing all the teachers and one page of concerns. And that's a sign that things are going the correct way.
I don't want to hold you guys here longer than what you want to be here, and I think I was probably about a half hour ago. let's talk about the FR radio thing, okay? Because I think that that was one example of something that fueled the community fire. Okay, so. What's your take on it?
My take is, personally, it has nothing to do with Fort Recovery School. But when there's something said or done, our administration fields all the phone calls because it's Fort Recovery Radio for some reason. The board has no decision-making with Fort Recovery Radio at all.
Correct.
So, I don't know what. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, but it was decided that that through the MAC, which is related to the schools, that FR radio shouldn't do any more MAC games. Okay, and it was presented to the MAC and to the ADs in the MAC, I guess, or the principals, that there was an issue.
I'll chime in here a little bit. So I think shortly after that vote, right, that you're talking about, we had some conversations at the school and said, we have a desire to rebuild back up the relationship between the school, the radio station, the school board, all the parties involved. And so kind of went to work and reached out to the commissioner of the conference. I'm pretty sure reached out to Neil here and said, hey, we're going to try to work with you to get you back in front of the conference to present your case to try to get you reinstated. And then I think in addition at the last conference meeting, Fort Recovery made a motion to reinstate the radio station for conference games. Unfortunately, there wasn't another school to second the motion, so it never came to a vote. But I think since that initial vote, you know, we've had conversations at the school with the board, the administration, and said, like, hey, you know, what we need to do is reach out to the radio station, try to rebuild the relationship. You know, it's been a little bit rocky, but you know what? Like, the right thing to do for the kids, because, you know, let's face it, lots of parents, grandparents, people who don't live in the area, you know, they're able to connect back to the community by listening to the radio station, listening to the ball games and things like that, right? And the, you have great events like the Christmas event and things like that. So, I mean, the school sees the value, the board sees the value in the radio station. It's not affiliated with the school, but it's certainly a big part of the community. And, you know, since the time of that initial vote, you know, I think the board and the school has tried to reach out the olive branch, if you will, of saying, like, hey, we're going to try to help get you reinstated. You know, we understand the value. We need to rebuild the relationship. You know, what can we do? You know, and I think we've been trying to move things back in that direction of rebuilding the relationship.
You know, and I'll just speak on it from a personal standpoint. You know, 2 years ago, I spent every third Friday night, every third Saturday night at the James Hospital. Okay. And I was able to listen to literally every Fort Recovery football game during that time. You know, there was a lot of times when whether it was a Tuesday and a girls' volleyball game. I mean, this is a connection, and to me, we as a community, you know, and the school is the most critical part of this community. We all know that without that high school, without that elementary school, that Fort Recovery is a shell. You know, I mean, and you know, to me, more than anything, it has got to be a one voice type thing, and I just, you know, it just seemed like we weren't in that, you know, situation, and you know, there are you know, grandparents that live in Columbus and Dayton and stuff that all connect, and hell, we got Perry Hall in Los Angeles, California that listens.
And I agree with what you said there. You know, a lot of people do rely on these broadcasts and games, parents, grandparents, yep. You know. But there again, the school didn't have any control over that. It was the MAC decision, but if it would have been a decision, like, and this is just my opinion, rather than suspend a whole radio station for a year, I would have maybe suspended the announcers who said whatever for a year.
Yeah.
And that way, the community wouldn't have got hurt. But there again, you know, that's a MAC decision. That's their decision. Usually, MAC meetings are in executive session. So the first one, when they did this, we don't know how it went down. This last one, when they voted, usually they vote in executive session, but Mr. Kemper brought it out of executive session and did a public vote.
But I didn't think that they're allowed to vote in executive session.
School boards aren't. That's the first question I asked. School boards aren't, but when it applies to the MAC, apparently they are.
I don't think it's necessarily a public entity. You're not allowed. And I don't know that, like, a sports conference is really, like,
considered
the same rules.
That was the same thing I asked.
Yeah. Okay. So, I tell you what, we got 5 till 9. I know Mike's bedtime's 9. Anything that you guys want to share?
Yeah, I'd like to say something. I've been on the board about 2.5 years, and I know Jack's probably not going to agree with me on this stuff, but
since I've been on the board, in my opinion, there's been a smear campaign against our superintendent and our administration by a small group of citizens out there. Whether it be by social media, rumors, whether you started them rumors or spread them rumors, you know, that's up to you to decide. As we said before, our principal's moving on. We're losing a good principal, I think, in part because of this campaign that's been going on. There again, that's just my opinion. I don't know the members of this group or who's been doing what. I don't do the Twitter thing. I guess if I followed Twitter, some of the names are out there. When it started, I actually thought it would go away over time. And I was surprised that it didn't. But here of late, maybe within the last month, 6 weeks, it seemed to have picked up again. I guess I'm just asking everybody to stop, take a step back, and think what's best for the kids. If this group is successful in doing what they, in my opinion, what they want to do, run Mr. Firkes out of town or the administration, they're going to win. The kids are going to lose. In my opinion, he's was an excellent hire at the time. I think he's tried to implement some good programs. You know, does he make mistakes? Yes. Is he perfect? No. Is he a community leader? Depends on what your definition of community leader is. I think he is. He sets an example. He came here with a plan. It was a 4-year plan. That's why we awarded him a 5-year contract when we did. And I won't linger on this. Basically, if he leaves, that group of people out there won. And when you're done giving everybody high fives and celebrating that, hey, we got him. He's out of here. We're going to, you know, they didn't hire our friend, you know, so he's out of here. Just think about what you did. You won. And the kids are going to lose, in my opinion. And if you guys don't agree with me, that's fine. We just must think differently. That's all I have.
So, and my, you know, I wanted to offer you that chance to, you know, share what your thoughts were. Like you said, everybody has a different vision of what leadership is, what community involvement is. And as a board member, okay, you two have a special insight into the operations of the school that nobody else has, and I respect that. Okay, you know, I was on the board for 18 and a half years or some godforsaken number of years. Okay, but I really think that you know, it's important to you know, recognize that there's always going to be detractors in the crowd. Okay. You know, where Mr. Firkes came from, he probably had some. Where you Mr. Firkes goes, you probably had some. As a community, as board members, as school superintendent, this is about the kids, you know, and this is about operating the school in a community that is supported by the masses, you know, and I, you know what, I hope that Mr. Firkes stays. I hope he is the best superintendent that we having the history of school, you know. But something's got to change, though, you know, for that to happen, for that connection. There just has to be a different approach, you know.
By who?
Well, by, I think, everybody.
Right.
Okay. You know, I have been quiet in this whole process, you know, but there are things that are upsetting as an outsider, you know. Now, I'm not, you know, one of those to post it on the various social media things, and I think as a board, you guys have to listen. Okay, you know more about this than the other 1,500 people in the community, you know, and you've got to be both an advocate for you, Mr. Ferks, and a voice for the community, and get a temperature of what the community thinks. Put it with what you know about you, Mr. Ferks, and the operations of the school, and you make us better. You know, that's you. One of the sayings, I think, from our training.
Doesn't matter, get better.
Doesn't matter, get better.
That's right.
And I agree with everything you just said there, but, you know, we've been waiting on it to get better for 2.5 years, and you brought up social media. I mean, if you follow social media and see what some of the things are said and some of the language that's been used, and as far as the rumors, some of the families that it has infected in a negative way, you see, like you said, I've seen it firsthand. I've talked to them people. It's very hurtful to them people. Yeah. And it's something that's got to be cleaned up.
And Mike, you know what? There are things that we've got control over, and there's things that we don't, you know. And social media, we see it on a national level, okay? It is its own beast. And communication and exchange of information and rumors and gossip and all of that is wide open now. You know, we as a community have to overcome that stuff. Okay. I have a, you know, saying that I use with everybody that, you know, works for me. Never let stupid people piss you off. Okay. And you can use that in every facet of your life, because there are always going to be people that are going to disagree with you. There are always going to be people that are going to do stupid things. And sometimes they do it on purpose. You know, you guys, I tell you what, I will always respect board members. I, you know, when Floyd Burke, when I first got elected to the Board of Education, the first guy that I ran into up at the, you know, Packasack was Floyd Bergman. And Floyd, I think, served on the Board of Education. And he said, "Jack, let me tell you, when you're running for school board, everybody's patting you on the back saying, that's a great thing, you'll be great. The day after you get elected, you'll be the stupidest some bitch in the world." You know? And you know what? I respect what you guys are doing, what you're going through. You know, you have got to be the guys who have their thumb on the pulse of, you know, Fort Recovery, and both from an education standpoint and from a community standpoint. So I appreciate the hell out of you guys.
Yeah, I think I want to chime in here a little bit on this. Kind of just reiterate a couple things you said here. So one, the school tends to be, especially in our community, one of the cornerstones of the community, right? It's one of, if not the most important piece of the community, like you already talked about, right? And
yep.
And we've seen, like, when the community excels, there's so much pride in the community. When you see things like, for example, the 225 celebration, or like the football team winning state a few years ago, right? You know, those things, they like bring us all together. And that doesn't get lost on us as a school board. We've had lots of conversations about that, especially the last 6 months or so, right? And so, like you're saying, like, doesn't matter, get better, right? So what can we do, right? So Mike says, hey, we should go and tell our story on the radio, right? Yeah. So this is one of the things we're doing, right? Let's go tell the story about, hey, here's the things we think are going well at the school, right? So that's part of it. Another yeah. one, we've been talking about having, you know, how can we be more open, right? How can it feel like we're being more inviting, right? So we're talking about having some event where we have a board meeting where we invite people in, right? Because not very many people attend board meetings, but maybe we could have one where we invite the community to come in. We can tell the story there. So, you know, hopefully there'll be some more details coming out about that. We don't have anything nailed down yet, but working on that. Another thing, I'd like to invite, you know, I kind of invited people to get a hold of me before to give me their suggestions, but I think Justin would say the same thing. Justin's willing to have the conversation. You know, I think if people would have questions and they're questioning, you know, why something happened, I would invite people to just give him a call and talk to him. I mean, he's not afraid to talk to people. I mean, he's not very public about it, maybe, you know, but he's certainly willing to have a conversation. I'm sure he would say the same. You could go to his office. You could call the school. You could send him an email. He'll get back with you. He'll explain his side of the story. He'll listen to your side. That's the experience that I've seen with him. You know, others may have had a different experience. I can't speak for everyone, but I think Justin would welcome the feedback and the questions.
Yep. One last question, and Mike's already ready to go to bed. So, you know, it seems like there's been a lot of, and I use the word a lot, and that is probably not fair, but it seems like there's been several 3-2 votes on several important topics. So does that represent conflict within the board, or do you feel like that's a healthy thing, or is that an unhealthy thing?
I don't think there's any conflict within the board. My opinion is, if you got a school board that agrees on everything all the time and votes the same way on everything all the time, you got a dysfunctional school board. We got diversity in our school board. We got different opinions, different votes, and that's why there's 5 members to vote. You know, just that's just the way it is. Jose?
I would agree with that. I mean, lots of the votes we have are 5-0, but there's a lot of votes that are pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I agree with Mike, though. You know, it's good to have diverse opinions, and a lot of times, you know, from what we hear from other schools, our board meetings last longer than most. We do have lots of conversations, and we talk things through, and, you know, at the end of it doesn't mean it's going to turn out to be a 5-0 vote.
And when I walk out of a school board meeting and say I vote no, and the other, you know, everybody else votes yes, I leave it at the school board meeting. I don't get all pissy because, you know, they didn't vote my way. I mean, big deal.
Yeah. Well, guys, I tell you what, I hope you feel like you had a chance to share what you wanted to share. I wanted this to be a positive experience, you know. Hopefully we accomplish that. And
I think it. Put it behind us. Let's move forward. Let's make it a positive experience from here, and let's go on.
DMGB.
What's that?
Doesn't matter, get better.
Yeah.
So,
hey, thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it very much.
And guys, I tell you what, you know, I do these shows every Wednesday night, okay? There's a lot of times I struggle to think of people to have on. Please consider this an open invitation to use this, you know, to you not only share the good stuff, because I think that's very important, but I also think that as as we do this, that it's important to have an avenue to answer the tough questions, you know, and you know, I know that Neil puts his heart and soul into this place, okay, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't do anything tonight to you know, jeopardize that. Okay, so you know, hopefully, you know, you guys feel like it was a fair discussion, and
absolutely, because you give me an opportunity to voice my opinion, and I'm very thankful for that. And I would love to come back, you know, in a couple months and discuss stuff again. And I'm not one of these guys that are going to beat a dead horse.
Yep.
I've discussed it. It's done. You know, it's a done issue for me. I'm not going to continue beating on it and bringing it back up. But I do appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight.
Okay.
I agree. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having us on.
Chuck, we had a hell of a show, didn't we? If, like, this was a normal night, we'd be getting Sports Talk on at 10 after 8, just like always. So I tell you what, for Jack Stogler, Mike Gruby, and Jose Fowler, and Chuck Rohr, that's Insight. We'll be back next week. We're out of here.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show.